podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the pink Liverpool 4 Southampton 0. Neil Atkinson, Phil Blundell, Philippa Smallwood and Steve Graves. Steve Graves, Southampton were really good for 45 minutes at least. But Liverpool, for the first time this season, were genuinely clinical, and we are going to be champions for longer than anyone else ever has been.
Liverpool having to accelerate out of whichever gear, first, second, third gear you want to say. They've been in so many games and been able to be in so many games. Tested by a side who absolutely one of the form teams in the league. Really well set up with lots of things, lots of elements of them which could hurt Liverpool. And Liverpool just cruised past them in the end with some football in that second half, which was just a joy to watch. I mean, I think we'll get into talking about some of the moments that weren't perfect for Liverpool, but at times today it was just so much fun to watch. So much could have been five, it could have been six, which is crazy to say when you do factor in that Southampton.
And when you factor something in another half time, it could have been five or six. Another half time.
Yeah, absolutely. And Southampton gave such a good account of themselves. As we've seen in recent weeks with the likes of Wolves, even more so Liverpool, having to squeeze past them. Liverpool today, they breezed past them in the end. And you just can't say enough for this side. Other players coming in, coming back to fitness and form. Players like Keita coming in, looking lively, looking like they can really offer something as we get into this running. Liverpool don't even need that now, but they've got it. It's just crazy to say. And, you know, you just start ordering your priorities. Is it to start winning games 4-5-0? In this procession, which, as you say now, we're going to have so long knowing we're champions. What do we do? Where do we go from here? It's crazy.
Liverpool 22 points clear, Philippa. They deserve to be 22 points clear. They deserve to win today's game. It's really important to say that. But it's also worth saying they were genuinely tested. They had to step up, and at half time, they stepped right up.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think in that first half we saw that teams can actually live with Liverpool for like 20, 30, 45 minutes. The difficulty is sticking with Liverpool for 90 minutes, and that is what Liverpool do so well, is basically taking teams to their absolute optimum performance and still managing to find a way to actually beat them. This is the first pink I've actually done this season.
Is it?
It is, yeah. And I've been wanting to talk about this team so much because there's been so many games where I felt like this Liverpool side have been tested. There have been moments where you thought, is this going to be the moment where they're going to break or where they're going to drop points? And there's only been one game where they've actually dropped points this season, and I think it's a truly incredible feat so far. 100 points out of the last 102 that we could have possibly won. It is absolutely incredible, and there's a little part of me that feels like this Liverpool side almost aren't getting the credit that they deserve from other quarters. That to be able to compete at that optimum level for so long is such an incredible achievement that it's kind of getting played down by certain quarters, and I think it's not disappointing, it's just a little bit of a, what do they want? What would really make this Liverpool team get the credit that they fully deserve?
It's unbelievable how they come out second half, isn't it? The early goal obviously helps because it buoys everyone. But the way they come out, Philippa, they very much just make it clear that the game belongs to them completely and utterly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was actually thinking about what I would have said to them at half-time, because that's probably the first time they've gone in at half-time at Anfield where you felt they weren't at the races. And I was just thinking to myself, if I was Klopp, I would literally just say to him, look, lads, you've got 45 minutes here and then you've basically got 2 weeks to recover. Just put everything that you've got into that 45 minutes. And they came out in that first couple of minutes with the enthusiasm to go, do you know what? This is our playing ground. This is where we're going to show you what we're about. And they blew Southampton away in that first 10 minutes of the second half.
There's something for me, Phil, in that 45, that second 45, that's reminiscent of the Leicester game. As though Liverpool, against Leicester, I think Liverpool are a little bit like, Leicester away, Liverpool are a little bit like, these are the serious side from minute one, need to be absolutely on it. Now, I'm not saying Liverpool took Southampton lightly, but I got the impression he went in at half time and went, they're trying to do what to us? Fucking cop for this. And that's what I think you see second half, they absolutely go. You want to go toe-to-toe with us? Sounds, get on this.
I mean, there was a period last 5-10 minutes that first half when I thought these lads from Mars had actually turned up at one stage. I was a little bit concerned. because they were a 3-1 goal about three times, and there were some bad decisions they made, I thought, just before half time, where they should have been better. But we do this quite often. We get in at half time, and the analysts will come down or whoever, and they sort things out. And we sort of blitzed them first. We did it again. We blitzed them first 10 minutes. I mean, there was not only the actual goal, but there was what was nearly the greatest goal that's ever been scored at Anfield.
It's incredible.
I mean, if that gets wrongly disallowed by a linesman, and like, if it had been a goal, like, for example, if VAR didn't exist and a linesman disallows that wrongly, I would have wanted to kill him. Because one of the finest bits of football I've ever seen in my life. The people by me still stood up applauding it 15 seconds after it being disallowed. Yeah, it was incredible.
Phil, just come back to you on that. I love the applause for it. The reason why was, it was a proper applause of, this is for the process.
Yeah.
It's not for the outcome. The process that we just saw was astonishing. Especially, have this round of applause for your process, Liverpool.
Especially when you still get people when they're nicking it about at the back going, oh, just get rid of it and get it long. Like, there's people still in that ground who would rather the other team had a goal kicked than we had the ball. And it's bananas. Like, you can't watch this team play football and still panic and still think they're doing the wrong thing and not understand what we're trying to do.
Can I say something else about it as well, Phil, on that goal? That brilliant goal that doesn't count. One of the reasons why I would have been, and I wonder about whether or not the football team themselves would have been, for 5 or 10 minutes after it, I would still have been angry it hadn't been given if VAR didn't exist.
The reason
why I was really relaxed about it not being given is because I know it'll be right.
Yeah.
And that sounds, I know that sounds daft, but if VAR's not there, I am fucking livid for 5 or 10 minutes. And I wonder if the footballers would be the same. The emotional reaction of playing all of that, and then it going in, and feeling like a linesman's robbed you of it, would have got me up the wall. But even if whether I was right or wrong, there and then in the moment, when I've got my monkey out, I'd have been livid.
There is quite a lot of emotion involved with VAR when you have the goal taken away. Sometimes you know it's right, but it still affects you. Like, then we went 2-0 up at Chelsea earlier in the season, 2 or 3 minutes after they had one marginally disallowed for offside, and they knocked them. Now, I don't know whether it's now a certain situation where they're acknowledging that they know it's right, and they just go, oh, well, it is what it is. And that's what we did today. But we did wear them out after our time. And to score within 2 minutes of the restart is massive, because they come out, they've done all their half-time work, they've gone, we're in this game, keep doing what they're doing, and then we basically stood on the net, pushed them through the floor and said, oh, look, you'll have to try again, have another go, and then 15, 20 minutes later, we score again, and it's done.
It's a second half, we'll focus more on the second half than first, Steve, because we all want to have a nice time, but it's a second half where, for instance, by the time Liverpool kill it and go 3-0 up, and by the way, it didn't need 3-0 to kill it, because they weren't stopping. It didn't even stop at 3-0, to be fair. You want to talk about process, they back their process, just keep doing our process. But 3-0, you know that the points are in the bag, and by the time it goes 3-0, you've got a captain who's got a goal and an assist. It's a tremendous second half from Jordan Henderson.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like, I think that was the loudest I've ever heard his name sung at the ground today. It was his afternoon, really. There's a lot of players with the shout for man of the match. It's a little bit of an odd game in that sense. I think there's a lot of them who, in a performance that was sometimes average, have put in exceptional spells of the game, exceptional moments. I mean, I think Salah, after half time, is just unbelievable. But
yeah,
Henderson's a massive part of that. He is stepped, and it's, people say, you know, he's improved. I think it's always been there, but he's stepped up to the level of these footballers. He's firmly on the level of Salah, Firmino at their best. He is playing with them, and he is absolutely not just facilitating what they do now. He is great in scoring. I mean, the way he takes his goal is sublime, and then the ball through for Salah's goal is just inch perfect to the extent that it just catches the defender's boot. It's absolutely brilliant to be aware of it and to be able to execute it. His performance all around is just so efficient, so authoritative, I suppose is the word. He's the last man off the pitch at the end with Oxlade-Chamberlain, and getting the full applause of the cop, and it was just so good to see. People have so many times written him off, but he just keeps coming back, and he's an exceptional captain of this football team. And I think probably 2 weeks ago I said he's a footballer of the year, and I think I'm only becoming more convinced that he is the footballer of the year. Brightest players, fans, whoever you want to go to, they should be saying that Jordan Henderson, this is his year.
I think when he went off as well and he got like the standing ovation and everybody chanting his name.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time really that we've seen all four sides of the ground acknowledge the sort of player and the performances that he's been putting in for us for probably 2 years now. I think he's stepped up a level in the past couple of months. I think he's been truly phenomenal, and I don't think I'll ever take as much joy from seeing a player turn around his own perception from fans as what I have done with Jordan Henderson. You know, to go from somebody who everybody thinks is just making up a space, you know, that's always the position that they looked at and said, you know, we need to replace that player, we need to look for somebody better. For him to stand up and take all of that and to take the burden of this football club and to do what he's done over the past couple of years for me, to take this club from one that's almost winning trophies to now, you look at them and you're going, they're the big deal, they're the ones that are going to win all the trophies, and other teams have got to find a way to stop us from doing that. And I think Jordan Henderson's been the main drive behind that actual process. I think it's been tremendous.
It's today, I feel as though Liverpool are a little dysfunctional first half, in part because Fabinho comes back in. He's been playing a certain way, and suddenly it goes back to the previous shape. It's been a little bit more of a two with Henderson and Wijnaldum. When Fabinho comes back in, it's a bit more of a three, or it'd be a Fabinho into one. And I wonder if sort of thing, they got to half time, it resets, and it's like, no, Jordan, just go and do all your Jordan stuff on the right-hand side there. Cut loose, enjoy yourself, play some fantastic football. It's a great performance.
Henson was absolutely fantastic. I really like the idea that there's Terry and Daventry who watches Northampton home and away every week, who's still fuming that he's going to play for England in the summer.
He's going to be captain, mate.
I think Kane might be all right, but even still.
Hopefully not.
Well, it's still mental that there's people in this country who cannot see how good he is. It's not like he's doing all right. He's absolutely phenomenal. I've just overheard someone coming out the ground. Like, there's a fella saying he started dominating games like Gerrard. And all right, you can say, all right, mate, don't go too far. But the fact that someone says it is showing you how far he's come. Like, he was phenomenal today. And there was very much an element of first half trying to figure it all out. Because it wasn't just that. It was also Oxlade-Chamberlain on the left.
Yeah.
He's trying to be what Sadio Mane is. And whatever you think about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, he's never going to be Sadio Mane. He's a very, very good footballer. He's not an attacking forward. He's not a left winger. It's not his game. But he did his best. He did well. He gets the goal. And he played very well, and he had them turn round a few times first half particularly. And he did not like the most likely outlet for something happening first half. But it's just different. And you can't just... You've seen this almost last week at Shrewsbury. It's not just a case of putting 11 really good lads on the pitch in Liverpool shirts and saying, go out and play football. It is more complex. It's more complex than this. And that's what makes it even more impressive. It's not like the manager's just going, oh, he's a good at football, he can do it. They are going out there with a plan. They're executing the plan. They're knowing their jobs. They're knowing the roles. They're knowing exactly what they're supposed to do. And it's just incredible to watch it coming together.
Mentioning the attacking players there, Steve. Before we get to Salah, we'll do Salah last. Firmino's not half bright as a button. Should score. Really, really should score. But it doesn't matter in the long run of things, because he's so influential. So many great touches. So much good movement. So hard to live with. I mean, you're Southampton, you're set up like they do. For me, he's the big star second half in terms of making Southampton's life almost impossible. Because who goes with him? Who presses him? Who looks after him? And he goes into everyone's zone and says, I'm your problem now.
He's so hard to live with. Second half, I think first half he does a little bit more of what he does against West Ham, where he sort of gets into what you'd call Mane's zone, where Mane isn't. I think second half he's just everywhere. He's dropping deeper, but at the right times, and he's popping up on the right. Him and Salah, the last sort of 15, when they're just connecting for fun, really. You know, just, and I think it's an underappreciated aspect of Salah's game that's developing, is the way he plays with other footballers is growing every time, I think. And they are so at such an elite level. He just sets the character and tone of this entire team. You know, we were in the Albert earlier. One of many pubs around
what's
the ground.
You may choose on DVD.
No, it was the 15-16.
Oh, okay.
And it was
15-16.
Yeah. It's good fun.
They made a DVD of the 15-16.
Well, it's the greatest season supporting Liverpool where they don't win a trophy.
It was a real laugh.
Okay.
We got to two finals.
That's a fair point.
They win loads of my games. There's the 5-4 against Norwich.
Dan is going to
score. I'm playing this DVD to the chill right now.
That is doing so the best goal in any European final. So anyway, but Firmino in that is, you see around that sort of January period, he's just pivotal in setting the tone for what this is going to look like. And he's been there so long now by modern standards, so much of what we've done has been shaped around who he is and his personality. You talked about Liverpool responding well to setbacks, responding well to not scoring the goal. It was amazing. I feel like his whole slightly carefree kind of personality, and yet obviously incredibly focused, incredibly trains incredibly hard, and you can see how fit he is. It feels like he's just got that perfect balance of diffusing things. When there was the little Mane Salah thing earlier in the season, which is so long forgotten now, but that's what he is for this football team. He's a leader on the pitch, among 11 leaders. Yeah, that's a really good phrase. Yeah, among 11 leaders, he's one of the underrated but absolutely pivotal ones, I think.
He's tremendous, but Philippa, Salah is just second half there, downright unplayable. What are they meant to do with him? Even the one where he keeps it on the edge of the area away from six of them and then misplays the pass, but he just keeps it away from six of them. So much of what he does is so irresistible.
I think this is kind of like the thing that we don't really recognise as much from Salah, is when he's on the pitch, he takes up 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players' thoughts, where they're going, shit, he's on the ball, we have to get the ball off him, we need to stop him doing whatever it is he's trying to do with. And even in games like Wolves, where he maybe didn't have his best game, but he was taking, if you watch it, where he has two of his chances, he takes four defenders away from other areas. And if he just plays the right pass, we're in. Today, it seemed that he was doing everything right. Like you say, there was that one moment where he gave the ball away. But
it was still phenomenal what he'd done.
Absolutely. To keep hold of the ball when there's like feet trying to take the ball away from you constantly. There's not many players who can do what he does. And I actually feel like we're a little bit in danger of not appreciating him as much as what we should do. Maybe it's because of the team as a whole is so good that he doesn't really get the recognition that he deserves almost now. But he is an absolute phenomenal footballer, and we are so good partly because of how good he is.
There's something for me, Phil, with Salah, where I remember, like, I think the best player ever to play Premier League football for me is Thierry Henry. I think Thierry Henry is as good a shout for that as anyone else. But I don't remember Thierry Henry disrupting teams, their shape, their approach, dragging men as much as Mo Salah does. In a really strange way, like, were teams less tactically switched on? Was there less of a plan? Was it, we won't move everyone over to where he is? Because I see Salah, and when Philippa says we're in trouble at times of not appreciating him enough, what I think is, whether or not she's right or wrong, you can never say that about opposition teams or opposition coaches, because fucking hell, are they scared shitless of him, and are they appreciating him, and are they dealing with him? And every team we play, everywhere we go, they change their entire shape, their entire system, to deal with this one fella. And you see it there today. Southampton is suddenly, second half, terrified of anything Mo Salah's going to do.
Ryan Bertrand earned his tea tonight, even though
fucking
he lost 4-0.
Right, yeah.
He's really good, Ryan Bertrand.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, but you're right there. Links to the point I made about Oxlade-Chamberlain a couple of minutes ago, when in the first half he looked the most lightly held there because he had space.
Yeah.
So they're sort of having to go, well, we might have to give him a chance to do something to stop him. And he still scored twice. Okay, it was the third and the fourth goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 72 and 19.
It took him 72 minutes to score, as we just said. But he still kept them thinking. And if you look at the goal, look how much space Oxlade-Chamberlain is in for that first goal, by the way. It's incredible. I don't think I've seen a Liverpool player on the edge of the box, in front of the cop, in that much space in a hell of a long time. It was a bit weird if you actually watch the goal back.
Yeah.
Like the goalkeeper, before the ball's even in, has got his hands in the air to say, what the fuck are you doing, letting him have that much space? But it's because they're looking at the really good footballer and going, we've got a problem here because he's there, and they might put the ball near him, and he can dance around four of us and do something.
What's really interesting for me is, for instance, this season, whether or not he wins Golden Boot, he'll be up against Vardy, he'll be up against Ings, he'll be up against Aguero. But Aguero's a really interesting comparison in that I never feel like anyone's got a Sergio Aguero plan. No. And I watch a lot of Manchester City and I never come away going, they had a real plan there to deal with Sergio Aguero. That's bollocks. Every team we come up against has got a Mo Salah plan. They've been working on a Mo Salah plan. And then the only times they haven't got a Mo Salah plan is because they've got a Sadio Mane plan. But most sides, Steve, have just got a Mo Salah plan. Yeah. And he skews everything.
Yeah, and there's been times when maybe that's, you know, that has... I think it's probably a team thing. The team has been thrown a little bit by that. But as Philip has said, when he keeps the ball and beats probably six men, it was similar to the build-up to the Wolves goal, to the goal at Wolves, where he does a similar thing where he just goes, I'm going to keep it, and I'll draw all of you, and then at some point I'll get it out of this situation. Yeah. And getting the ball out of that situation, that's the opportunity for Liverpool that comes from Salah being surrounded. It's him being able to do that. And you know, we see his ball through for Oxlade-Chamberlain at West Ham. He's increasingly an all-round footballer and showing... He's got so much more than... I feel now he's playing better than he ever has for Liverpool. I think this has been his best run of 6-7 games for Liverpool. And I include the season when he scored more than Dixie Dean, I include that. I think he's just absolutely... He's just gone to another level. And I'm really excited. And I just hope... I hope and I believe, I think, that we've got at least another season of that. And Liverpool are such a winning machine now. He's been such an incredible part of it. And Philip is right. He's the player that probably gets the most acclaim from outside voices, apart from maybe Van Dijk, but from maybe less so from Liverpool fans. And I think it's hard to work out why sometimes, but he's just such an important player for this team.
I find it really weird how when people talk about who they want us to sign in the summer, everybody goes first to, because it's all right to take the money for Salah. And I find that really strange. When you've got a team this good, who are so phenomenal, why would you ever want to break that team up in any way whatsoever? I accept that, you know, there does need to be some sort of planning for the future. But they're like 28 now. You know, Mane, Salah, Firmino, we're all in the prime of their career. Why give that up already? Maybe look at that when they're like 30, 31 and they maybe haven't got quite the legs that they used to have. But why look now to try and replace these brilliant, brilliant footballers that we've got? It just doesn't make any sense.
I sort of would have bought an argument earlier in the season about maybe you just have to freshen things up, but it feels like they sort of have. It's like within the unit, we've freshened things up. Like they're able to do different things. You know, Firmino is doing things and scoring goals and creating chances in ways that we've not seen before. Salah is doing things and scoring goals and creating chances in ways that we've not seen him do before. I mean, I think his finish today is, so many times we're able to get him in that position where he's kind of, it's naturally on his right, but he obviously wants to come back in on his left. And loads of times where you go, well, it looks like he's in, but he's not really, because the defender can cover so much of the goal across the keeper. It looks like he's kind of come up with a plan for it, which is just wait, and then just a little. The finish is sublime, but it's not. It's an improvised finish, but it's not improvised, if you know what I mean. It's something he's been thinking about. How do I make the most of these situations that I so often get into, which can so often end up with a keeper saving it at his near post, or me trying to cut inside and a defender stopping me. Well, that's how. So you know, again, he's the solving problems, and the problem of refreshing maybe is just solved from within this side, this elite, exceptional side.
First off, briefly, to touch on it, Phil, they look after our space brilliantly. They do really well, I think. Certainly when you remember the makeshift. Romeo's come in, he's not been playing there. Ward-Prowse isn't a right-back. Gineppo's not been getting games, although he looked good today, I thought. I wanted them to be a tiny little bit better. But they were still really, really impressive, I thought, for 60 minutes or so. And even then, they don't stop. They're a good side.
That's a team that's come a hell of a long way. You go back, what, 3-4 months, and they got beat 9-0. Not like they had a little bit of bad form. They got beat 9-0, which is as heavily as anyone's ever been beaten in their own ground, the Premier League. And so they are still very much a work in progress. And you can see that there's a potential for that team to get a hell of a lot better. If you look at their fixtures coming up now, they could seriously go move up this table to a point where they're challenging for a European place. They've got some poor sides coming up. One thing you can never accuse me of, by the way, is naive.
No.
They've got every trick in the book. There's some of it was, they were very clever at sort of managing the game first half in terms of disrupting things, being a little bit, being
shit-housey. What was interesting was I thought there was shit-housery, there was them playing a bit dead, and then first half, they then just fucking come to life.
Yeah.
Two and a half minutes, and they were like, Jesus Christ, yeah. They're all over us here.
They knew exactly what they were doing. They were the manager. It's weird to go to a match, beat a team 4-0, and think there's a lot of credit to be given to the opposition manager, because I think he's got them set up in a really, in a way that it messed with us first half, how they played, and then they've come out second half, we've done them, but they've gone into it with a plan, and they've executed the plan really well for 45 minutes, which is not something a lot of teams do against us. They can't even get the plan to 10 minutes before we basically pulled it apart. I was very impressed with how hard they made it for us.
Yeah, I mean, the two centre forwards, it's quite unusual, you know, particularly for Liverpool to have to deal with. The fact that he changes them both at the same time with like-for-like changes tells you a little bit what Philip was saying about how much they put into that that 60 or however minutes it was that the Longening has come off on. I mean, there's a reason those players, and Ings has had a great season, but there's a reason that they play for Southampton, I suppose, and they just didn't have that final cutting edge to really hurt Liverpool. And you can sort of say, oh, if Liverpool come up against a side who can do X, Y, and Z, then, you know, maybe the dangers are there. But I think they answered all of those questions in the second half, Liverpool, by just showing what happens when a side does come at them with a bit more quality. Is they've got levels to go up, and you know, I think it will do us good coming out of this break, heading towards and having had some tough games. And I think even having the Atletico game coming in the middle of all this will just do it good in terms of keeping us fresh and focused.
Philippa, for me it's astonishing. We come back from the last international break and we think Liverpool have got to put the hammer down. Since then they've won every single football match they've played apart from one at home to Napoli. They have won every other game. I'm sorry, Shrewsbury away. Every other game. They have gone to town. They've got the results. Oh, and Villa away. This now sounds a bit shit. They've won every league game.
I don't think Villa away counts now.
No, they've won every league game, is my point, Philippa. And it's an astonishing run to be on. It felt like it was the defining run of the season. And it has defined the season because these lads are champions.
Do you know what? I was actually thinking when I was sat there today that this is really, really hard to keep up. To play at this level for so long is really, really hard. And where Liverpool's probably done themselves a favour is probably making this season as short as possible. So going, right, we just need to do this for another 7 games now and then we're home. And that's if City win every single game. City have to win every single game to just make our season 7 matches long. Then I don't think they're going to win tomorrow. So, Liverpool, in essence, could be giving themselves a rest in league games so that they can focus their attentions elsewhere. So, we could maybe go for the double, even the treble, if we can get past Shrewsbury on Tuesday. I've still got a sneaky suspicion that there's a couple of players that may still play on Tuesday, the likes of Cater, I think. And I really wouldn't be surprised if they do that. And then people will moan and say, oh, well, he didn't say he was going to do this, and I've not turned up because of this. No matter what side goes out for Liverpool, I want to watch them. I want to suck in and breathe every single second of this Liverpool team this season. They deserve that. They've deserved it for the last 3 seasons for me. They've been absolutely phenomenal. And anybody who's thinking of not turning up on Tuesday, think again, because I will be there. And I want this Liverpool team to crush everybody for the rest of the season, if that is possible.
Who was man of the match for the best team in the world?
I thought Firmino, to be honest.
Allowed?
I mean, in rubbish statistical terms, he got 3 assists today.
Very fair. Firmino for Phil, man of the match for the best team in the world?
Salah for me, I think. I think he just sets the tone so early in that second half that this is what Liverpool are going to do. And we haven't even talked about Van Dijk's moments, but you know, Salah creates that, and he he's instrumental to almost everything that Liverpool do well in this whole game. Just absolutely brilliant.
Man of the match, best team in the world.
I agree, Salah. I just think he's a phenomenal footballer, and I just want to see him play for Liverpool as long as possible. Again, absolutely outstanding today, and it's really hard to live with when he's in that sort of form.
Okay, if you're asking me who's man of the match for the best team in the world, it's the captain of the best team in the world. But it's one of those days where you can split the difference between some brilliant performances. Liverpool have discarded of Southampton. They've done the double over them this season as well. They're going to do the double over almost everybody this season. This is the best team in the world. This is the best time to be alive. These are the mighty, mightiest of Reds. Sports Social Podcast Network.